May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 1044. Water from salvation's wells, thirsty sinner, come and draw. Grace in Jesus' fullness dwells, more than men or angels know. Hymn 1044.
Read together from the Word of God, from this most precious and glorious Christ that we've just sung. Psalm 22. A psalm truly of Christ. But may we know what it is to be found under the fountain of his precious blood for a refuge for our souls. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live for ever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship, and they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Amen. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us. Teach us how to pray. O Lord, merciful, kind and gracious God, once more we are favoured to come into the ordinance of thy house. We thank thee, Lord, for thy promise to thy people, those that love and fear thy name, that thou wilt come in the midst of the twos and the threes, show thy presence amongst them. And Lord, we want to feel thy presence. We want to feel and know something of it, Lord, in the midst of us. We don't want to speak and pray for these things, Lord, without knowing what it is to come into that wondrous union and communion with thee. But we do pray that it may be our mercy, each one of us here, to feel after thee, to seek that union, perhaps through a love to thy name, a love to thy word, a love to thy people, a love to thy sent servants, a love, Lord, to a suffering Christ upon the cross, Lord. If thou wilt be pleased to draw our poor souls towards thee and to feel that presence of thyself towards us, will be our great mercy. Come to us each, Lord. Every one of us, Lord, the eldest to the youngest, we pray thee. Appear, show thyself, Lord, to each one of us. Come to our needs as they may arise at this time. And we would never forget, Lord, our greatest need, our never-dying immortal souls, that they must live on forever, Lord. But where shall they abide and remain forever? Oh, shall it be, Lord, with thee and thine? Shall it be with that great number, Lord, whom thou didst come to seek and to save? O Lord, shall we be left? Shall we continue in the broad way of destruction? O Lord, we do pray, come in thine all-abounding grace. Come to each one of us, Lord. Put that great need, Lord, into our souls, that great need of thee. Help us, Lord, at this time to partake of thee and to come to thee, Lord, for those things needful to our never-dying immortal souls. O Lord, if any have come in some spirit of indifference and carelessness, Lord, if any have come, Lord, by way of formality, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come, Lord. Open blind eyes, Lord. Awaken sinners, Lord, to their great need. We do believe that that first work is the opening of the eyes, Lord, to see all the uncleanness, all the unrighteousness, all the unruliness of our hearts by nature. O Lord, it is a great mercy if thou wilt come to every one of us at this time. And the Lord, reveal and manifest, Lord, what lies within us by nature. Oh, but Lord, to lead us and to show to us, Lord, that there is one that come, that did come indeed, and to seek and to save lost, ruined sinners. And Lord, may this be the hope, Lord. When we pray that it may be a hope with an expectation, Lord, that if thou hast begun that good work, that thou wilt, Lord, come and perform that work. And we pray, Lord, that we may see thy great power today, Lord. That great power, Lord, that can come into the souls of sinners, can separate them, sanctify them, set them apart, Lord, to be a people unto thyself. It is only thou, Lord, that is able to save and redeem. And we pray for the outpouring then of thy Spirit to come upon us, Lord, and that thou wilt come to each case and need. O Lord, we do pray that none shall leave these thine earthly courts this morning, Lord, indifferent about their never-dying immortal souls. There is an eternity before us, Lord. We do not know, Lord, when we shall enter into that eternity. But, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to appear and show, Lord, sinners the blessedness of that eternity, that everlasting life, that inheritance for sinners in and through the Lord Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. Lord, what a glorious eternity that will be for lost, guilty, ruined sinners, ultimately to come to that place, Lord, that abode and that thou hast prepared for them. How shall they ever come to that place? Oh, through the sin-atoning blood of Jesus. Is, Lord, the blessedness of that fountain open for sin and uncleanness, to find a refuge there, Lord. Oh, we do pray then, Lord, come in the midst of us and reveal and manifest thyself to us. We live, Lord, in a dark and evil day. Thy judgments are upon the earth, Lord. There is no nation, Lord, that has escaped thy judgments, Lord. We've turned our back upon thee. We've been those, Lord, that have despised thy word and desecrated thy day and blasphemed thy name, turned our back upon thee, Lord, put laws into being, Lord, that are contradictory to Holy Scripture. O Lord, we have never seen so much Antichrist in the world as it is today. We live truly in those last times. But, O Lord, we do pray that this pestilence that has come amongst all nations, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to show sinners that it has come divinely so, and that there may be a looking upward, and sinners brought to see that in those judgments there is mercy. And, Lord, we do pray that there may be those who shall be turned to thee. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come and change and renew sinners by grace. Show them their need of a Saviour. And, Lord, if it will please thee, Lord, through the teaching of thy Spirit, the solemn truths of this pestilence, then, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt gather out of the midst, Lord, those whom thou hast ordained eternal life. O Lord, hear us in our prayers. There are those, Lord, in our families. There are those, our children, our children's children. There are those, Lord, whom we have walked with, and those in family relationships, Lord, those near and dear to us, and O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come, Lord, and that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to humble hearts, renew sinners by thy grace. Come, Lord, we pray thee in thine almighty power. Change the heart, renew the will, turn their feet to Zion's hill. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt then come, and Lord, be brought to see how that we've truly offended against thee, and that these judgments truly are just, righteous judgments upon sinful nations. O Lord, we do pray that out of the midst, Lord, of these evils, that thou wilt be pleased to gather a people. Lord, hear us in our prayers, and do be pleased to be with us here, Lord. We thank thee for this day. We do pray that this is the day that the Lord hath made. We do pray and thank thee, Lord, that thou hast turned our feet into the courts of thy house to come and hear thy word, Lord. Oh, it is a mercy if thou wilt bless with a hearing ear and an understanding heart, that thou wilt be pleased to come and to work in us, to will and to do of thy good pleasure. And Lord, we cannot think of any good pleasure from a God in covenant with his people and to reveal and manifest the mercy that comes through his dearly beloved Son. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. God, be merciful to me. O Lord, do we pray thee, come to our case and come to our need, come to the circumstances in our lives, come to those things, Lord, that have come in and upon us, we pray thee, perhaps the path of affliction, the path of trial and tribulation, Lord, the troubles here below, Lord, those things that have come in and upon us, Lord, perhaps as families, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to appear, Lord, rule and overrule if it will be thy gracious will. Lord, sickness, Lord, and afflictions, infirmities that come in and upon us, Lord, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear for each one of us, Lord, and those that are near and dear to us, Lord, in afflictions past. O Lord, we do pray, appear for them in the riches of thy grace, Lord. Come, Lord, we pray thee, and comfort the souls of thy people. Thou hast promised, Lord, that thou wilt not leave them comfortless. I will come unto you. Oh, what a mercy, Lord, to be able to commit everything into thine ever merciful hands, Lord, to be subject to thee, Lord, and Lord, to bow down to thy sovereignty, Lord, will be a great mercy, Lord. It isn't in us by nature. We do need thy grace to come upon us, Lord, to keep us low, Lord, and to keep us mindful, Lord, that thou art God, and that, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, in all these afflictions and needs that come in and upon us, that it may drive us to the throne of grace, Lord, that it might bring us to thy feet, Lord, and that we might become beggars, Lord, at the throne of grace, suing for mercy, suing for thy compassion and pity, Lord, to come upon us, we pray thee. We're not deserving of anything, Lord, at thy hand. No, we have to confess to so many failings and so many shortcomings, Lord, thou knowest. We have to confess, Lord, to the body of death that we still have in possession, Lord, and proves to be continually a great trouble and a trial to us, Lord. O Lord, where sin abounds, let grace much more abound, we pray thee. So, Lord, hear us in our prayers and petitions, Lord. Keep us poor, keep us low, Lord, and keep us dependent, Lord. Keep us trusting, Lord. Help us to lean upon the rock Christ Jesus in all our trials and troubles, to wait upon thee, Lord. Oh, thou art the one thing needful to us, Lord, in every aspect of our lives. Be pleased to work grace in our poor hearts, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, and thank thee then to come to this day and to come and to sit around thy word. Oh, we do pray that it may be made precious to our souls, we pray thee. Draw near to each one of us out of thy fullness, Lord, so that not one, Lord, shall be left, Lord, destitute of any one good thing that thou wilt be pleased to show and to reveal to us in thy word. O Lord, we ask it. We do thank thee, Lord, that this day, that there is one indeed that a babe in arms come forth into thy house of prayer. And Lord, we bear the little babe unto thee. O Lord, thou knowest how that we pray over each one born into this world. Very solemn it is to be born into this world, but Lord, if we can ask thy favour and thy blessing, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come to that little one, preserve, keep, and watch over, and raise up to be one of thine, Lord, and that will be the mercy. So, Lord, we ask it. And, O Lord, be with Benji and watch over him and those things that concern him with his wife Lydia, Lord. Thou knowest how that we often think of him and pray for him. And, O Lord, we do pray. Lord, support and strengthen him in his poor soul, Lord. Be pleased, Lord, to lift him up above his trouble, Lord. Bring him near to thee, Lord, and that he may be able, Lord, to resign everything that concerns him and Lydia into thy hands, we pray thee. Lord, be a constant companion and friend to him, one always near to hand, one to come to his needs, both temporal and spiritual, we ask it, Lord. So be mindful of us, Lord, and our prayers and petitions for our fellow brethren, we pray thee. Do be pleased now to help thy servant to say something in thy name. Come to his help, Lord. Speak through him by thy Spirit, and help him to speak the precious word and truth of thy gospel before thy people, and in utterance for him, may that word, Lord, be a blessing to the souls of thy people. Open their hearts, Lord, to hear and to receive, and may sower and reaper rejoice together, and we ask it in that all-precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 155. The fountain of Christ, assist me to sing. The blood of our priest, our crucified King, which perfectly cleanses from sin and from filth, and richly dispenses salvation and health. Hymn 155.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention. The psalm that we read together, Psalm 22, and reading the last two verses, verses 30 and 31. Psalm 22 and verses 30 and 31. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. It is a most wonderful psalm, David. The Spirit of the Lord coming upon him, revealing and manifesting to him that one that was promised and that one that should come. His poor soul must have been drawn to him in true love, for it is here that David would understand the sufferings that his Redeemer should pass through, so that all his sins should be washed away forever. What a mercy it is, dear friends, to be drawn to Christ in such a way as this, to behold that work of grace that changed and renewed a sinner, and to see the glorious gift of our God, revealing a precious Christ to a sinner. No wonder that Paul could write to the church at Corinth, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." It says, "A seed shall serve him." Who is this him? Who is this one? Well, it's the one that we've read together. This is him. This one that said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me?" It was that time and that moment. It isn't that his God did forsake him in the sense and the knowledge of the word that we would understand it. But he had to leave from him for a little while, for a little season. And for this reason, he could no further help him. He helped him thus far, his heavenly Father. He defended and protected him. How many times they sought to take him before the time was. And he helped him. According to his promise, he helped him. Just think of the wondrous truth and the promise. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause it to inherit the desolate heritages. Well, there was a time there, dear friends, when we read that word, and to give thee for a covenant of the people, that was when, dear friends, his heavenly Father did forsake him for a little time and season. That it was there that he was going to provide that wonderful and wondrous sacrifice, the giving of his own life for the sins of his people. Remembering that his heavenly Father had helped him thus far. But now, Jesus, He was to suffer in the Roman stead of his people. And it was for a seed that should serve him. Well, there's always been a seed that would serve him. There's always been a remnant through grace. There's always been that time and season when that word and promise should be fulfilled and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. There's always been that promise. The ransomed of the Lord, they shall return. They were ransomed in covenant before time began. They were given to Christ before time began. But in their birth and in their time and season here upon earth, the blessing and the truth of it, it was to come to them, this seed. It's a spiritual seed. It's that great number that no man can number. It's that great number that John saw and beheld in Revelation 14, as I believe it is there. It is that great number. And that great number, every one of them shall be ransomed. They shall be a remnant that shall be gathered. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Oh, this 144,000, not meaning in the exactness of the number, but in the perfection of it and the completeness of it, that the whole church will be gathered in. Not one of them shall be looked over and passed by. This seed, a seed shall serve him. Dear friends, what a mercy it is to have an interest in this word. These are the shalls and the wills of our God in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says they shall serve him. There's no mistake about it. None whatsoever. A seed shall serve him. This one who cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus knew everyone whom he would suffer, bleed and die for. It was this great number, this 144,000. This is the seed. It's a heavenly seed. It's a seed that will experience the new birth. A seed shall serve him. You know, when God saw all the wickedness upon the earth and all the imaginations of man upon the earth, and repented of God, dear friends, that he had made man upon the earth. But there was one, wasn't there? Noah found grace in the eyes of God. A remnant amongst all the wicked of the earth. Oh, there was one. And then ultimately, those that were saved, the ark of God, a remnant. In the days of Elijah, they were all given to evil and wickedness and to idolatry. Israel had turned their back upon their God. But the Lord spake, 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal, a remnant through grace. Oh, dear friends, have we got some interest in this word, a remnant? Really, it's only a few. I think of that hymn 690, isn't it? If I can just find it, but it's perhaps an interest in it, a prayerful concern. A remnant small of humble souls, his grace mysteriously controls by sweet alluring call. They hear it and his person view. They learn to love and follow too and take him for their all. One of this remnant I would be. A soul devoted unto thee, allured by thy voice. No more on gaudy idols gaze. No longer tinsel grandeur praise, but fix on thee my choice. Oh, what a mercy it is, dear friends. If the Lord will be pleased to work in thy poor soul and show thee that he is that most glorious treasure in heaven, that one that came down in an impersonal way for thy soul, for my soul, to be one of this number, one of this seed. It isn't that we shall ever be worthy of anything. No. If I may just give an example of whom this seed might be. It's a Manasseh, dear friends. I just think of a word and I come back to it because it's, I believe it's related to the words that we're speaking of in Psalm 24. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Oh, who can come there, dear friends? Who can stand before a holy and a righteous God? Who is it, dear friends? We're vile and base, Manasseh. He was one that rebelled against the word of the Lord, that turned the streets of Jerusalem into blood, such an evil and wicked man. But the Lord had purposes of grace towards him. God gave him into the hands of Jesus before time began. This evil, wicked man, this vile man, this corrupt man. This is the seed. And then, dear friends, we may come a little further along. We may see a madman in the gospel. A legion with all devils and evil spirits within him. And that is where we are by nature, dear friends. But the Lord came to him, one of this seed. The Lord suffered, bled and died for that man. One of this seed. Then we have Saul of Tarsus going out against God, against his church, against his people, on the way to Damascus with rebellings and evil malice in his heart towards the Lord's dear people. But dear friends, grace came and in a moment of time it broke up that man's spirit, brought him to his knees. A seed shall serve him. No, it will never be for anything that we deserve. We were no different to these, dear friends. You may think, well, I didn't live a life like that, but sin was in you. Sin was in me. We were unclean. We were unrighteous. We were ungodly. We were unholy. We were no different. Sin is sin. A seed shall serve him, him. However can it be done? and it shall be accounted unto the Lord for a generation. In every generation of time, dear friends, this seed shall be accounted unto the Lord. Or there will be that ingathering. There will be that coming to Christ. It must be so. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Accounted to the Lord in every generation of time. Here would be fulfilled that covenant of grace where Jesus would become our covenantee. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. What a mercy it is. It's generation and generation and generation. But what a mercy, dear friends, to be one of these in our generation. Some of you are in a younger generation than I am. But dear friends, this is exactly what the word means. In our generation. Do we not want to know something of it, dear friends? To look back here, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? I go to Isaiah 53, dear friends, because it speaks of this seed. And it's another wonderful chapter in the scriptures to see and to behold a precious Christ and the work that he came to do, to accomplish the will of his heavenly Father, the fulfillment of the covenant of grace. You know, the covenant of grace in respect of this seed, it's everything that Christ is in their lives. Everything. He is in the very beginning of our life as we are born into this world. And he will be in the end of our life. Oh, what a mercy that will be, dear friends. This is the covenant of grace. It's all thy times being in his hand. It's life's minutest circumstance concerning thee and me with him. Our life's minutest circumstance. Oh, this is the wonderful truth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Ah, dear friends, has he seen his seed with us? Are we one of this seed, dear friends? Does this word draw our poor souls to Jesus? Prayerfully, to be one of this seed? If it is so, dear friend, it will be a miracle of grace. A miracle of grace. Because it's here that the Lord Jesus saw his seed. He knew everyone for whom he would suffer, bleed and die for. When he cried, "It is finished." Dear friends, this seed was saved. Every one of them. When he cried, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost, the church was safe, secure, salvation. But oh, to be one of this seed, I deem it, dear friends, to be a great mercy that the Lord came to me. I was one that was very indifferent, I have to confess to that. It's only when the Lord met with me, I sat in the pews of his house just like you do. 37 years old when I was, when the Lord came. I was indifferent. Regardless of my need of my never-dying immortal soul. But oh, dear friends, when the Lord came and showed me the awfulness of my life, my nature, my sin, all my uncleanness, my corruptions, it brought me down there, dear friends, laid me low, burdened my soul. Now God the Father looked upon the sacrifice of his dearly beloved Son, and he was well and truly satisfied. He saw of the travail of his soul. He saw that the church was safe and redeemed. Everyone whom God the Father loved with an everlasting love from before eternity was safe. So that they, in the fullness of time, they would come and be one of this great number, this remnant, that will be able to praise God and thank him for his everlasting love, his election and choice of us, and the wonderful truth that he gave us to his dearly beloved Son before time began. Dear friends, cry. I cried. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. It means this great number shall be accounted to the Lord. Every one of them. And dear friends, we have the solemn truth of the wages of sin that is death. Eternal death, eternal destruction, damnation. Our eyes may be opened, dear friends, to know and to feel that we're sinners, but they will be opened also to see the just wrath of God for sin and the curse of a broken law, that curse that belonged to us. Jesus, oh, he did suffer. But he did bear away our sins and iniquities. And he did suffer the just justice of God for our sins and iniquities, that just justice of God should never fall upon us. And therefore, dear friends, the gathering, the salvation, and those wages of sin should never come upon us. Eternal destruction. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. We're in a generation today. We live in a solemn time, dear friends. And may the Lord draw your hearts to your great need. Open your eyes. Show and reveal, dear friends, the corruptions of the heart by nature, the Adam nature. The nature, dear friends, that sent us into ruin. And to see that Jesus alone is our only hope, our only mercy. And what a mercy it is to be a prisoner of hope. Dear friends, are we hoping? Are we begging? Are we praying? Are we seeking? Are we going out after Christ? I know that my deliverance was but a few weeks, really. 3 weeks, or perhaps no more than 4 weeks. And the Lord showed to me that he did suffer, bleed, and die upon the cross for my sins and iniquities. Dear friends, we have to come to the cross of Jesus. It says, they shall come. They shall come. Oh, there's no mistake going to be in respect of this. They shall come. These are those, this seed that are bound up in a heavenly Father's love and in an everlasting love. And he always loved them because he gave them to Jesus in covenant. And when Jesus took upon himself to be our covenantee, it is he, dear friends, that with the arrangement of this covenant, that he stood on the part of the election of grace when he acknowledged and the undertaking of this covenant of grace and the work of mediation that he should fulfill for the gathering in of this seed, this heavenly seed. Yes, Jesus undertook it for every one of us. They shall come then. And we have a gracious promise here, dear friends, they shall come. It's a faithful promise of our God in that covenant, undertaken by Jesus, his dearly beloved Son. They shall come. And dear friends, let this be another hope. Let it be another prayer. Go to the Lord, dear friends, and say, it says they shall come, Lord, that I might be one of them. Lord, that I might know thy mercy. I've shown thee all my sins, and I'm sincere about them. They trouble me and burden me. But Lord, that I might know this truth, that they shall come. Jesus hath said, all that the Father giveth me shall come. This is the confirmation. This is the faithfulness of our God, dear friends. They shall come. All that the Father giveth me, they shall come. And it's the very words here, isn't it? They shall come. And then it says, and this is the comfort. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Never cast them out, dear friends. Everlasting love, covenant grace, electing love, choice of some from lost mankind, they shall come. And then, if we go with all the burden of our sin, the labouring, the confessing, the bearing with us our wicked and deceitful hearts, all our uncleanness, all the vileness that is in us, the evil, all the wickedness in our lives, dear friends. Jesus hath said to such as these, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me with all thy sickness, just as the publicans and the harlots and the sinners came to Jesus in Mark chapter 2. They came to Jesus. It was at the house of Levi. And they came and sat with Jesus, with all their sin, with all their corruption, with all their wickedness, with all their evil hearts, with all their ungodliness, all their unrighteousness, they came to Jesus. And the scribes and the Pharisees couldn't understand it. And he heard them muttering in respect of it, knew what they were thinking. But Jesus came for these sick ones. That's what he called them. The whole need not a physician, but the sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What a mercy it is, dear friends. They shall come. And it is a mercy to hear it today, dear friends, that the Lord is still working, still mighty in his power. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness. Perhaps these sinners will be able to come and declare his righteousness for what the Lord has done and wrought for them. In his saving grace, they might come before men, that they might give a profession of their faith in Jesus, what he has done. But then there shall be a generation that shall declare what Jesus has done. It may be, dear friends, the ministers of the gospel, and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. It is through the preaching of the gospel. And it may be this righteousness is of our God, in his faithfulness, his faithfulness, in his loving kindness, in his covenant of grace, his loving kindness and his promises that we've spoken of, his righteousness, dear friends. For he is righteous in all his ways, dear friends, and his works. And then they shall declare his righteousness, this righteousness that must be a blessing to these to this seed that is saved, a righteousness, dear friends, to adorn their never-dying immortal souls, the finished work of Jesus, the merits of his life and the merits of his person, the merits of his perfect obedience to his heavenly Father's will, and then the merits of his sufferings and death for sinners. Oh, it is here that Jesus procured a righteousness for his people and adorned them in that glorious robe of righteousness, and which indeed must be a blessing. It's a blessing of salvation. But our souls, dear friends, they require to be covered. We may just see it, dear friends, in the wondrous truth of the word of the Lord. I just think of Isaiah 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Oh, dear friends, the king's daughter is all glorious within, all pure, holy. And this is the wondrous truth here. This is the glorious change wrought within the soul by and through the Spirit, a people set apart for the glory of his name. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. Born again, begotten of God, the Holy Spirit. It must be born again, dear friends, as Jesus spake unto Nicodemus. Must be born again, born of the Spirit, begotten. Oh, what a wondrous word it is. It is Christ that will beget his people through the gospel. Just as, if I can just find it, it's just something that that is a truth. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Oh, this is the wondrous word here then, unto a people that shall be born. Born again of God the Holy Spirit, renewed by grace, sanctified and set apart to be a people unto God himself. I'm just thinking of another word. I believe it's significant for us. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born in her. This is the seed. What a mercy it is to be a citizen of Zion, one of God's children begotten. But oh, the blessing, dear friends, of what it is to be reconciled unto God the Father, to be one of his family, of his grace, his children. Unto a people that shall be born. Oh, look to these words, dear friends. Pray that the Holy Spirit will lead you and direct you, dear friends, into the mercy that is found in these words. Mercy. That was just the plea, wasn't it, of the publican? Just that mercy. This is the mercy here. You will often wonder, dear friends, why God should ever have had anything to do with you. When he discovers all the unholiness and the wretchedness of our condition. But dear friends, he has shown us that way to Jesus. The Spirit will convince and convict of sin, will show to us what we are by nature. It's God's way, dear friends. But it's the way of salvation. It's through Jesus. We come before him, dear friends. We'll come poor and needy and lame, impotent, blind. But, dear friends, he's pleased to reveal himself to us, what we are. And unto a people that shall be born again. Well, this is the wondrous truth of the gospel. And then, that he hath done this. He hath done this. Oh, the whole arrangement, dear friends, the whole blessing of salvation, dear friends, by and through our God, he hath done this. Only he could do it. Only he could change the heart, renew the will, turn the feet to Zion's hill. You see, he has turned us against our own will, that we should be made willing in the day of his power. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Dear friends, I close, but please take these words. Plead them before Jesus. Plead them, because Jesus hath said in respect of these words, they shall come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And dear friends, we want to know something of it. Let our case be an urgent, pressing case before the Lord, that he might show mercy and salvation. And then, dear friends, to come into the adoption of children, reconciled to God. It's the greatest blessing that can ever come into the soul of a poor sinner, to be one of God's household and one of his children, an heir to an inheritance waiting for us, dear friends. May the Lord bless these few remarks. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school this afternoon will be on Zoom. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman. Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Jabez Rutt next Lord's Day. And there will be a Gospel Standard Trust meeting at Oakington on Saturday afternoon. Our closing hymn is 143. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Hymn 143.
Thank you.
thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.